Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hello, I'm Pastor Kurt. I'm the children's pastor here at Encounter Church. It's a blessing to be with you on this Wednesday, and I hope you receive this message as it's been something that God has been speaking to my heart about. It's called the Call to Love. You know, I've been asked by many people, as well as asking many people, what is your calling? And though the answers vary widely, I would say that the majority of them have to do with pastoring people. It's either children, adults, homeless, addicts, whatever it is. They are called a pastor. And what we forget during that calling is that our foundation. And what I came to understand is that the foundation of everyone's calling is love. And it's when we are operating in our foundation, that love, when people start to recognize who we are. And Jesus said in John 13:35, he said, they will know you are my disciples if you show love for one another. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's about showing that love and how God has been speaking to me about it. And I've spent most of my early years in prayer just doing talking. I don't know about you, but I wasn't raised really to listen to God. I was raised to actually say your prayers. God, thank you for this day, things like that. And I spent very little, if any, time listening to what he was telling me. And during my Christianity, I start to understand who God is. And once I understand God is love, God is all powerful, God is faithful, he loves me, and he wants the best for me, and he's everywhere at the same time, I thought, you know what? It'd be better for me to actually start to listen and then instead of doing the talking. So I got quiet. I knew it read it was better to be to listen than to speak, but for me, it took me a little bit of while before I got into it. And so once I got into it, Matthew 6:8 started to speak to me, and he says that Jesus said that God knows what we're going to say even before we ask it. And so I thought, all right, now it's time for me just to get really, all my time with God is going to be in quiet. And I try to do this in pastor meetings, wherever I am, just get quiet and listening to what God is telling me in this time. He may or may not speak. He doesn't have to. But as I did that, I discovered that, you know what, there is a God. He loves us and he is talking to us. And so I wanted to open my ears and my heart to listen to God. And when we are, we have to understand something, that we are listening to the King of the universe, Jesus Christ. Everything that was made through him. And when he spoke things into existence. And he spoke actually the universe into existence. And so I wanted him to speak his existence into me. I went to ask him, Father, what do you think of my identity? Who am I? What about my health? What about your love for me? As well as, God, I want you to cast out anything that's not of you. Basically, I want to be more of you, Jesus. I want to have more of you in me than me. Recently, I was in prayer and spending some time in quiet and solitude. And next thing you know, I hear God say something to me. And when I say hear, when I hear, I just got a thought. And the thought was, if a hospital closed its doors to the sick, can it still be called the hospital? And I was like, no, Lord, they're in business to help the sick. And he said, right. Neither can my church be called a church if it closes its doors to the sick. And I thought, well, I have some problems with that because scripture also reads that we're supposed to cast out the wicked person. And I think what we do is we actually start to cast out people that God's welcoming into the church, but we want out because we're not happy with who they are or what they're doing. And so I just started to, God, I'm going to get quiet and just start listening to you and seeing what you're saying about casting people out or bringing people in. And as I realized this, that, you know what, there is everyone on this earth actually needs Jesus. You know, we may think, you know, Pastor Reese is too holy. Pastor Sarah is too holy. Sarah, you know, basically, the Hickeys are all amazing people. And so they have to be too holy. They don't want Jesus. But I thought, if I asked the question, if I was bold enough to ask Marilyn Hickey, Marilyn, what do you need? I bet she would answer me one thing. She'd say, I need Jesus. And so I thought, if everyone needs Jesus, who am I to cast anyone out? You know, say you're not welcome in God's church. And so I had to realize that, you know what, I'm not the Redeemer. I don't decide who comes into God's church and who doesn't. God is the Redeemer. He decides who comes in and who doesn't. And it's only with him people can be healed. And so Jesus himself took flack for doing that very same thing. The religious people asked the disciples at one night at dinner, why does your rabbi eat with sinners and tax collectors? And Jesus declared later on, he said, I did not come for the healthy, I came for the sick. And it's because of that, my whole mindset started to change. You know, it's not about being around these people who think they're righteous. No one's righteous. Only people who know they're righteous is because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. I think about how Jesus reacts to those who sin against him, but also those who want to represent him as a judge. And so one of my favorite stories is the woman who was caught in adultery. And when she was caught, the Pharisees brought her before Jesus and they said, hey, Rabbi, the Mosaic law of Moses says that we're supposed to stone her. She was caught in adultery. Now, the person who she was caught with was not brought in. Just she was. That was another sermon. That's for another sermon. But I want you to see the picture. You know, there's this woman. She's caught in adultery. We have the Pharisees, the religious sect over there, and they all have stones and are ready to throw them at her and kill her. And then we have Jesus standing by her side. And Jesus stoops down. He starts to draw on the sand. And then they said, you know, what do we do? We need to kill her, right? So basically, they're trying to trap Jesus. And what I got from this whole study was that if Jesus, sided with them and said, you know what, kill her, they would have killed her. If he would have said, no, I'm here to redeem, they would have killed him. And so he stoops down, he draws in the sand, he stands up and he says, instead, I'm gonna put it on you guys. So he says, if you don't have any sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. And so, of course, everyone has sin, so they had to throw it on the stones. And they walked away. And Jesus said to her, he's like, where are your accusers? And she said, I don't know, Rabbi. I guess they don't accuse me. He said, yes, I don't accuse you either. Now, what we forget to know is that when love stepped in, when Jesus stepped in, he who has no sin, Jesus, should have, by our interpretation of the Mosaic law, should have killed her. But instead, he offered her grace and forgiveness. And so I think it's important for us to remember that anytime someone comes in to our around us who's caught up in sin, it's not the person who we're trying to get rid of. We're trying to get rid of the sin. What's really hard for people to understand sometimes when they become a Christian is just because you're a Christian and you don't think you're sinning anymore, you're not called to be the judge or the executioner. We want to learn from Jesus' example. He's in the judgment seat, not I. He will sort him out, not I. My job is just to bring him in. So recently, I've been given more thoughts to my studies, and I've been studying 1 Corinthians 4:20, which reads, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. I thought, if you take the power out, is it still God's kingdom? Because God says, my kingdom consists in power. It actually resides in power, not in just words. And I was someone who actually, because I was trained in seminary, went to seminary full-time for 5 years, I thought, I know so much about God, I can tell everyone about him, and it'd be great. And I was one morning, I was actually praying before service, and a worship song was playing. I don't remember what worship song it was on, but I remember just hearing the Lord very clearly say, Kurt, stop putting me in a box. And I thought, Lord, I'm not putting you in a box. And he simply said, I want to do more. Now, what I was doing is I was teaching people who Jesus was, who Christ was, who God was. But I never thought I should be a coach. Instead, I was a history teacher, and I stopped being a coach, stopped leading by an example. I stopped teaching them what to do instead of what to believe. These are words that we often forget is the black letter words in the Bible. We're all for the red letter words when Jesus is speaking, but we forget to actually teach on the things that he did. And that was where my heart went. My heart went to, I'm going to start teaching people now about the kingdom of God according to his power. And so I basically stopped all the teachings of just words and start acting out in gifts. I start teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, which was really good. And saw amazing things happen. There's some miracles. I mean, even doctors couldn't explain it. We had this one time, this boy's leg grew out an inch and a half. He had pins and rods in his leg. And I remember he walked into the service and I was staring at him, and his mother looked at me like, "Hey, why are you staring at my son?" And I said, "I want his walker." And she said, "You should basically look at me like, you try to take it." And so I wanted nothing to do with that. But I said, "I feel like God's going to heal him tonight." And she said, "If he does, you can have his walker." And so I said, "Okay." So we prayed from that night, and in my hands, God grew out the leg an inch and a half. And I got so addicted to that. I wanted to see more healings. I wanted to see more manifestations of his Spirit, which are all really good. But as I did that, I start to wane away from love. And the thing that we have to remember is that God actually exists in love. It actually reads in 1 John that God is love. So it's important for us to understand that I can do nothing apart from God, away from him, so I must do everything in love. And so as I continue to do these services of giftings, of spiritual giftings, healings and prophecy and you name it, we saw a great things happen. But as I start to realize, oh my gosh, I'm walking away from love, I realized that I was walking away from his kingdom. Again, I was a history teacher turned into a coach that only wanted to win. You know, the journey, the whole loving your players wasn't for me. And it was at that time that I started to feel guilty because of sin. I realized that, you know what I was doing? I was grieving Holy Spirit. It still hurts me to this day, but it's not a condemnation. It's more of a conviction. He doesn't want me to do that anymore, ever again. Have you ever hurt someone you love? If you have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I love Holy Spirit, and it just hurts my heart that I hurt him. I know he's not mad at me, but it just hurts my heart. I want him to know that we want to do so much more. I want to do everything that Holy Spirit is telling me to do. And I think it's important for us to understand that when we are called into this calling, whatever it is, that we must act in love. And I hope I'm being repetitive. I hope I'm driving the point home that you can do nothing without love. Through examples of my own life. It's just for a moment, if you would just imagine what the world would be like if no one grieved Holy Spirit. How many more people do you think would be brought into his kingdom? How many more people do you think would be healed or set free? But the truth is that we are afraid. It's afraid, or we don't believe. So we shy away from it. I know everyone wants to be touched by God. Everyone says the most precious time I've ever had was when I encountered God. You know, I talked to a former addict on Sunday, and he was saying that the greatest high he had is just experiencing Jesus Christ. And he's been free from this addiction for the drug addiction for 7 years. And so just praising God with him, it's amazing to see what God can do in a man. And knowing that what's meant for evil, God will turn to good. So I was telling this young man, you know, God's going to use you for his glory. You know, the people that I cannot touch, the people who I cannot reach, you can reach because of your experiences. But again, the more I saw miracles, the more I became addicted to them. You know, it's in Matthew 16:4, where it reads, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign." And I'm ashamed to say that was me. I just wanted to see Holy Spirit manifest. I just wanted to see healings happen. I just wanted to see prophecies happen. You know, I had the ability, I still have the ability just to see suicidal tendencies on people. When people in that spirit of suicide, I can see it on them. And I can't explain it, but it's been amazing. I've seen two people who I saw them, I did nothing about, I did nothing for them, and both of them committed suicide. And I wondered, why does he still give this ability to me? Discernment, why does he give me discernment? I mean, shouldn't it be someone who's more faithful? But then I saw other people come forward and they had the same thing on them, and then God saved them. So whatever it is, whoever you are, whatever you've come from, God will use that. He can use that. Just trust him. So say the same thing with me. Less of me, Lord, more of you. But what's remarkable, in addition to Matthew 16:4, is Mark 16:17. And he says, these signs will follow those who believe me. And what's amazing is that he's saying, all right, in one voice, he's saying, wait a minute, if you actually, you're adulterous and perverted generation, a wicked generation, if you seek these signs, but these signs will actually follow you if you believe in me. What is the difference? The difference is our position. In one, I'm just seeking after, I just wanted to see the sign. You know, I wanted to see, maybe because I wanted glory, maybe because I had too much pride, but I want to see God manifest himself so these people can get healed or whatever. And so I can see a part of that, be a part of that, and experience that high and get that fix. But God says, no, these signs and wonders will actually follow you if you believe in me. And so what is the difference? Position. In the second state, I'm actually following Jesus, right? What does he want to do? Who does he want to show love to right now? Besides everyone, right? But who is on his mind in this very moment, in this room right now? At the barbecue on the 4th, I remember being out there and I was encouraged to go in and mingle. And I went to go mingle, but as I went to mingle, I saw this guy praying for this kid I was talking about a little bit earlier. And I just felt led by the Holy Spirit. And it's no boasting to me, because I actually prayed to God. I said, God, keep me on a leash like a dog, because I don't want to wander. I don't want to do stuff that you don't want me to do. Just keep me on a leash. And so I went over to this boy who was being prayed for, and I joined in with the prayer. And it was amazing to see what God did in that. So this guy who was praying actually walked away, and I was left alone with this kid, 30 years old, and he started to open up to me. And I thought, how amazing, God, that he's been freed from his addictions that he had, and that he's able to talk to it now. And then he said, he started crying a bit, and he said, you know, I wish I had hearing, all the hearing back in this ear. I lost part of the hearing in this ear. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. So I started praying for him. I said, what does it feel like? And he said, it feels better. I said, well, we pray again. Jesus prayed for a blind guy twice. So if I have to pray 500 times, what does it matter? So I put my hand back on his ear. I started praying. I said, how's it feel? He's like, it's all better. And his tears rolling out his eyes. And I was like, God, it's amazing when I don't actually try to do a healing. I don't try to manifest your spirit. I just try to love on people, how you manifest yourself. And so I was totally blessed just to be there in that day and spend probably an hour with him or more in that time. But it's just following Holy Spirit. You know, in Romans, it reads that the sons of God will be led by the Spirit. And so I pray for all of you, men and women, that we're all led by the Spirit. But what does it look like if we act in the gifts, but we don't love? And so, you know, this message is all about the calling of love, the call to love. So what if we start acting in the gifts, but we don't love? Well, God lays it out in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I speak in the tongues of angels and of men, but I have not love, I am a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have the power to prophesy and can understand all knowledge and all mysteries, and have all faith to tell a mountain to move and it moves, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give my body over to the flame, die a martyr's death, and give all I possess to the poor, that's love, right? No, he says, but if I don't do it with love, then I will gain nothing. So we get this straight. I can act in all the gifts. I can act in all the gifts of the Spirit, and I can give everything I possess to the poor. But if I don't do it in love, then I will gain nothing and I am nothing. Those are his words. It's something that the Corinthian church was going through. They got addicted to the power also. And so he's saying, love is the answer. Love is the most important. Out of all these things, they're all going to fade. But what's going to remain? Love. And then I'm going to read actually 1 Corinthians 13:4, because I just love the way it reads. And he tells us, you know, our question should be after reading that is like, Lord, what is love? Because you're saying I'm not anything without it. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, nor does love boast. It does not boast. Love is not arrogant. It is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So if God said in his word that we are nothing and will gain nothing if we don't love, I think we better pay attention. I think it was pretty arrogant on my part when I got out of seminary. I thought, you know, I have something to teach. And it might be so. I know God gave me the gift of teaching, but I said that, you know, I'm here to teach instead of loving. And that is the primary purpose why we are here. It's the actual meaning of life. You know, I know it's an ongoing joke where people say, you know, do you know the meaning of life? And everyone laughs. You know, how can anyone know the answer? It's to love. We are created by love. God, the Father, his love. The first two commandments are about love. Love the Lord your God with everything you have and love each other as yourself. It's why we are created. It's what came down and died for us and gave us freedom. He wants us to love. And yet, I can make it about words. I can make it about, well, I understand this better than you. And I should just slap myself when I say that because it has nothing to do with that. Can I actually love someone better than somewhere else? You know, in talking with Pastor Steve, you know, I think he does a really good job with loving these kids. You know, he wants to just spend time with them and connect with them. And it's something that a lot of us don't think of. You know, how can I actually connect with someone, spend time with them? Jesus, how many years did he spend with his disciples? 3 years, showing them the way. So this whole purpose of this message is to say that we can't take parts of the gospel away. We must give all of the gospel. We can't say, well, I'm all about the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. I'm all about love. Well, it's both. Because if you do one, the others will follow you. If you're able to follow Jesus and share love with the world, the rest will follow you. You know, Mahatma Gandhi actually said something. He said, I love your Christ, but not your Christians. Now, I can turn a deaf ear to that and say, well, that's just Mahatma Gandhi. Who cares? You know? But my gosh, God is a great man. And he says, I love your Christ, but not your Christ. So what are we doing different than what Christ has asked us to do? And I think, again, it all relies on love. The church has not, we have not, and I say the church, I mean me. Because if I say point to the church, you know, the kids will point to the building. But I said, you know, the church is right here, it's right here. Point to your friend, point to you. So the church has not loved well. And that's one thing that God asked us to do. And so if I love well, then I think Gandhi could say, you know what? I can see the church in you. I can see Christ in you. Because Christ said again in John 13:35, they will know you by how you love. And if we love well, then we'll be known as his disciples. But how does God want you to display the love? Is there someone in your neighborhood? Is there a friend? Is there someone caught in addiction, pornography or drugs? Is there someone who's just lost and seeking after new age stuff? What is it? How can you actually reach them? And a lot of people are always concerned with how can I reach them? What can I say? Just love on them and you will see them turn around eventually. It may not happen overnight, but it will happen, I believe. Because Jesus said something. He said, if we raise Jesus up, he will draw others unto himself. So I say again, raise Jesus up, let them see the love of God in the room, and then they actually will accept him as their Lord and Savior. To speak about the power that exists in everyone. Remember, God said, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives within you. To speak about that power that exists in everyone is to miss the mark if we do not speak about love. Love is the foundation of everyone's calling. Jesus drew so many followers because of love, because of his love. Jesus' disciples will be known by their love. Love will confirm the message, the gospel message, in all of us. Love is the most powerful gift we have been given. We love because he, God, first loved us. So Father God, I thank you for this time. Father, I thank you that if there's just been a word of truth, that seed gets planted in people's lives, Father. And then I know your word reads that we may plant and we may water, but you make it grow. Make these seeds grow, Father. Make them grow and sprout. And as they start to sprout, Father, I ask that others get these seeds onto them as well. And Father, then it starts to sprout more. Father, I thank you for who you are, that you loved us before we even knew who you were. While we were still sinners, you sent your son to die for us. You are my God. There is none other. Lead me, guide me, show me your way. And above all, your will be done today, tomorrow, and forevermore. because you can do far more than whatever we can ask or even think according to your word. It's in your Son's beautiful name, Yeshua, the Messiah, I pray. Amen. Thank you for watching. Can't wait to see you on Sunday.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.